I've entitled my message, Change. Aha, change. It's exciting to know. It's really exciting to know that God knows each one of you by name. And that is so precious in the time that we're living in. He treats you as a son and a daughter. You're very special to him. In actual fact, you're one of his favorites. And you really need to know that this morning. He loves you dearly. He cares for you. And whatever you're going through this week, or maybe next year, some things are happening in your life. They may be good. They may be tough stuff. They may be difficult stuff that you're going to go through. But I want you to know this morning that through it, he is always with you. He never leaves you or forsakes you. He will sustain you through it. Because his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. And he's out to watch over you. He's out to protect you. And yeah, whatever you're going through, just one word from the Bible, maybe one word from a message, maybe one word from a testimony can absolutely change and revolutionize your life. So I just want to comfort you this morning. That we've got a loving God who really cares for us and he watches over you. And you personally can be used in other people's lives to bring comfort, to bring change, to bring a miracle, to bring a healing. You personally can do that. Hallelujah. Because that's how great our God is. He wants to use every one of us. And this morning, I'm just going to read from a passage in Acts chapter 3. It's going to come up on the screen for you. We're very lazy in this church, and we don't advise it, but you don't have to bring your Bibles even. So here we go. Now, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, at 3 p.m. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us if by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, have glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disown the holy and righteous one and ask that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see." May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this morning. Father, I just ask that you would take these words this morning. And Lord, you've got a tailor-made word for every single person here this morning. And they will see it in different ways. But Lord, I ask that you would speak to them and you would build them up, you would strengthen them, you would encourage them and refresh them. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. I'm going to show you some pictures. We're going to have a little interaction. And I want you to see where these pictures were taken. Okay? I want you two to keep quiet because you will know exactly where they come from. Who? Did I hear someone? Man of history. Oh, that's blown it, isn't it? Well, I'm going to show you the rest. Right. Alcatraz. Yeah. Alcatraz. Look at that, like rabbit hutches. Nearly 1,600. Oh, that's the good-looking guy. Oops.
What were you in for?
San Francisco. There we go. United States Penitentiary. Alcatraz Island. There we go. I just want to go back to this picture here. When you go in these places, you have headphones and you learn all about it. 1,600 or nearly 1,600 convicts went to that island. Only three escaped. One was found dead. The other two they never found. So there's a mystery about those two. But the reason why it was such an awful place, it was very unusual. It was sunny. It was always misty a lot of times, very cold and damp and horrible. But the interesting is that the convicts could see San Francisco. They could see everything that they wanted in life, but they couldn't get to it. Can you imagine that? And that's what they said in these headphones. These convicts used to look out and see what they couldn't have. And that's this morning, I want to say, how many people today can see in their mind's eye the person that they could be if they could be free. Free from fear. Free from habits. Free from addiction. Free from depression. I could go on. There's a lot of people searching for their identity. You only need to look at London and all the stabbings. Why is that happening? It's because young people have lost their identity. For whatever reason, maybe they've been brought up in a dysfunctional family. Maybe at school, they feel no good. They feel nothing. They feel that they're not doing well. All these things. And they come out of school and they don't know who they are. So they join a gang. And that gives them identity. I can be a gang leader. I can stab someone and they will look up to me. All these reasons. And many Christians sometimes have lost their identity. But I want to tell you this morning, your identity is in Jesus Christ. It is in Jesus Christ because, as I said at the beginning, he will never let you down. And Jesus' identity was in his Father. In his Father. So this morning, whatever you're going through, if you love Jesus and given your heart and life over to him, your identity, first of all, is in Christ Jesus. And wow, I could wish for nothing more than being in Christ and knowing who I am. I'm a child of the living God. I'm a prince or a princess. I'm royalty, and so on and so on. The ability to see it, but you can't swim to it. To see it or taste it, but can't get it. And it's a kind of torture that is experienced when you're on the move, when there's change in your life, when there's maybe a transition, there's a movement. I want to tell you, I've asked permission from Kathy if I could share this, and she's given me permission. When you go through Alcatraz or any museum, there's always a gift shop at the end. And Kathy is always in the gift shop. I just like to go in and I come out because I don't want to be trapped in the gift shop. And Kathy just loves to buy for the grandchildren, you know. But in Alcatraz, you know, who wants a mug with a prison picture, you know, or a key ring, you know? And yeah. And this morning, you got to be careful of the gift shops when there's change, when there's transition in your life. Because the enemy will always put a gift shop to trap you. You know where I'm coming from. We need to pay attention to the way we read the Bible, I tell you. That chapter I just read to you is full of words that will bring change or movement or transitional words. I Googled it. I said, give me transitional words in the New Testament. And man, there's loads. Therefore, now, whither. And their transitional words is a smooth movement. into the next one. And this chapter is absolutely full of them. The Bible is full of them, happenings. God is always on the move. He's always on the move in our lives, if we would only realize it. And in this passage, we see Peter, we see John, we see the lame man, and we see lots of people in the temple. And there's always movement. And when Luke was putting pen to paper, he was writing about the history of the church, the start of the church. And we see Luke writing about the first miracle. This is the first miracle, apart from the day of Pentecost, when people, or the disciples and the 120, were filled with the Holy Spirit. This was the first miracle that took place, the start of the church. And there was change happening. There was movement happening. There was the transitioning of the church from being a religious church full of rules and regulations. And change was happening. And we don't like change, do we? That sort of unsettles us. Even in life, we don't like change. And, you know, imagine going to a new job. You just don't like it, do you? You're unsettled. But change happens. And I'm just going to stop there for a moment, because we've been pastoring the church for nearly 14 years. And we've never had a sabbatical. But some tremendous people called George and Shemen are taking us to South Africa. So we will be away for 2 Sundays. And we won't be here. And so I want to tell you that Gavin and Hannah are going to pastor the church for those 2 weeks. So you know. Yeah. And we have a tremendous extended leadership team that support us and help us and pray with us. And I want you to see who they are. So I'm going to ask, I can't ask Joshua and Jessica to stand up because they're on a cruise, but they come back Wednesday. But I want Cos and Sharon to stand up. I want Jordan and Louise to stand up. I want Dominique and Anne-Marie to stand up. James and Jan to stand up. Praise God. They are the support team. I want you to know who they are. They run different things in the church. They run pulse groups, pulse group leaders, and they're like ears to the ground, and they help us. And so I want you to feel secure and supported so you can sit down. Bless you. The other thing I feel I need to say to you, because I want to start to... Yeah, keep the church informed, because I know it's got out already and you can't keep a secret. But as a church, we are looking for the future, okay? This is the future. It's a long time. But we're looking for a couple that would take on the responsibility of the church. Okay, the responsibility of the church. We're not going anywhere because we love the church and we will always be here doing lots of different things. But we're looking for a new couple, a new pastors that would take on the responsibility. And we want you to pray with us. And we will always keep you informed the coming weeks and months so you know what's happening. Okay? And if you've got any questions, come up and see us after the church. Come and see me and Kathy. We would love to talk with you and share with you. Okay? Praise God. And so the church is on the move. There's change happening. And it's good change. It's good change. And I can see this church going to new levels and new heights that we can touch our community. But the church here in the book of Acts is going through change. It's going through disruption. And people do not like it. The Pharisees do not like it. The Sadducees do not like it. And they're causing trouble. They hate it. They hated Jesus. That's why they crucified him on the cross. They hated him because they didn't like the new thing that Jesus was bringing in. The church is going to turn the world upside down for Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the carpenter from Nazareth, who was crucified for us and for the world. Hallelujah. This morning, Jesus did so much for us. He lived a perfect life. He suffered and died on the cross for our sins and our failings. And this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to respond to his love this morning. He rose on the third day to give us life and destiny and a hope for the future. Praise God. That's my Jesus. And I want to tell you about my Jesus and what he's done in my life. Once I was so insecure, I was very much like Gideon in the Bible. Insecure, insignificant. Did I have an identity problem? I probably did. But praise God, Jesus found me and rescued me and saved me. And now I know who I am in Christ Jesus. I know where I'm going when I leave this life. Do you? Hallelujah. God is so good to me. Chapter 3 is a transitional chapter. It gives us a picture of when Jesus told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem for the coming and receiving of the Holy Spirit. He said to them, don't leave Jerusalem, the city of peace. Don't leave it. Wait in Jerusalem for 10 days until you receive the Holy Spirit. Do you know something? When you're going through that period of change, that transitional period, is very difficult to keep still, isn't it? You're all up in arms. You're worried. What should I do? How am I going to do this? Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem. And you might be buffeted. You might be tossed about. But I want to tell you, the Bible tells us, be still and know that I am God. Sometimes when we're told to wait because of change and things that are happening in our lives, that's when the enemy comes in and puts that gift shop in our way. He's so good, the enemy. He knows how to distract us. Abraham got distracted. God told Abraham and Sarah that they were going to have a child. But it wasn't happening. It wasn't happening for a long time. And the enemy put the gift woman into his life. And Abraham thought he'd do it his way because he was waiting so long. And you know the mess up what happened. And this morning, I just want you to hold tight be still and know that I am God. Yeah. On the way in or on the way out, they charged me a ticket to go into Alcatraz. And then they trap us going out in the gift shop. It's so subtle, honest. And you can go to any museum, there will be a gift shop at the end that you have to walk through. You have to walk through to get out. And the enemy can be so subtle. He does that continually in our lives. And I said it already, Psalm 46 verse says, be still and know that I am God. It means, for goodness sake, stop striving. Stop striving. Just settle down. Or it could mean, stop, wake up, be still and know that I am God. And sometimes we need to hear that continue in our lives, because the Bible says that we're not going to have a bed of roses. When we become a Christian, it's not going to be an easy life. But in all those things, we really need to know, be still and know that I am God in the situation. The church had not even started in this chapter 3. But God was on the move. He's about to do something. And God, I believe, is going to do something in your life today if you allow him. You might be changing job. You might be changing school. You might be trying to change how you eat, a different diet. You might be going to get married. You might be going to have a baby. Or you might be at college or university or at school, and it's pretty tough. They're trying to tell you to take drugs or drink. See, it could be something good sometimes, and it could be something bad. But you need to know that God is with you, and he'll help you through those difficult times. God was waiting to bless this person before he got to the usual spot at the gate called Beautiful. And the interesting thing I noticed about this chapter was, I always thought that the lame man was just sitting there. But this text tells me that he was being carried. He was being carried to the temple. And it's amazing how God moves, because good Jewish boys always go to the temple to pray. Ding, ding, 3 o'clock, go to prayer at the temple. So we have Peter and John, ding, ding, 3 o'clock, going to the temple to pray. A religious thing, really. They were half and half. The same time, the lame man was being carried to the gate called Beautiful. And they meet up. But can you imagine if the gift shop was in the middle and Peter and John got distracted and they thought, oh, let's have a break today. Let's not go to the temple to pray at 3 o'clock. Let's have a Costa coffee instead. Or the lame man thought, okay, guys, I don't feel like it today. But no, they both went at the same time. And Peter and John saw them carrying this lame man. And they just put him down. And he said to Peter and John, have you got any money? And Peter and John said, I do not have any money. But what I do have, I give to you. And this morning, If they hadn't awaited in Jerusalem for 10 days, if they hadn't awaited and know the peace of God that passes all understanding, and not have been distracted, but they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the power of God. And they said to the man, we don't have anything, but what we do have, we have Jesus. We have Jesus. He's our authority. He's our identity now. And we want to give it to you. He died on the cross that you might be set free from your condition. Jesus gave them the authority to do it because Peter gave his right hand. Speaks of authority. This morning, we have that same authority in Jesus Christ because our identity is with him. Hallelujah. When you're about your business, you have complete authority as you're led by the Spirit of God to give your right hand to someone, to pray for someone, to speak to someone, to give them that word that will release the person out of their bondage. You have that authority this morning. I noticed in the text that the man got healed, it said that the power of God went through his ankles and feet and he jumped up. And it says in the text, he began to walk. And that's what I mean by paying attention to the text. Because further on, it says that he was clinging or holding on to Peter. And sometimes, when we have change, that's usually something that happens around us. Change is different to transitioning. This man experienced change that his ankle and feet were made strong, and he stood up. But it says that he began to walk. And further on in the text, it says, can you stand up, Kath? That he was holding on to Peter. And I can imagine him jumping up and down as they walk into the temple. But he was clinging on to Peter. And that's something we need to know, that when change happens, like you're born again, you become saved, that's change. Where it says he began to walk, that is transitioning. It means that our spirit needs cultivating, it needs help, it needs to grow, it needs to get stronger, and it takes time. And I think often people get saved and we lose them because somehow we don't nurture them on. So whatever you're going through this morning in your life, whether for next week or whether for next year, or whether you've got a new job next year or whatever. And it's in that transitioning period, you've got to watch out for the gift shop. Something that will distract you. Because it's in that time that you got to be still and know that I am God. Just as this late man began to walk. He hadn't walked before. So he didn't know how to walk. He had strength in his ankle and feet. But he says he began to walk. And it's a process. Your healing might be a process. Whatever's going in your life might be a process. But the body of Christ, us here, can help you. We can come alongside you. We can pray with you. We can help you. This morning, that is my message. That he never leaves you or forsakes you. He's continually with you, whether you're going through the hard stuff or the good stuff. Whether you're being buffeted, you need to know that you're safe in the arms of Jesus. And he will help you through those difficult times, the times of change, the time of disruption. But we serve a good God who is faithful, always faithful. He's always good, and he will help us in the right direction. Why do you think in Psalm 51, Daniel cried out, Lord, create in me a clean heart and a right spirit? Why did he do that? He knew because God has sorted out his situation, the change. You knew what he did. He was unfaithful. That was sorted out. But now he had to be helped through the transitioning period. That's why he cried out, Lord, please give me a clean heart and a right spirit. Please help me now. I have messed up, and I know that you've forgiven me. But help me as I transition from A to B, where you want me to be. The children of Israel, Tony mentioned it in his prophetic word. They got taken out of Egypt. They were rescued from Egypt. But they had to transition into the promised land. And that took 40 years because of some mistakes on the way. We've got to avoid the mistakes because they can mess up your life. Let us stand, shall we? Father, we just want to say thank you for your goodness and your kindness in our lives. Lord, you are faithful. Thank you that you have saved us. You have rescued us. You have given us a hope and a future, a destiny. Thank you that we're always safe in your hands. Whatever comes our way, we're safe in the arms of Jesus, as it were. And Lord, I pray for every single person. I know this word was tailor-made for every single person here because they would receive the word different to the person next to them. Because that's the way you work. That's a miracle-working God. That's how you speak to us. And I pray, Lord, that you will help us next week, next month, next year, on our journey with you, Father. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen.